You're about to listen to the words and teachings of Pastor Shola Oshimakinde of the household of David. Be blessed.
Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Lift up your hands and just glorify Jesus. Tell him how great, how awesome. You know, sometimes it's good to direct your words to him, to tell him how much you appreciate him, how much you love him, how dear he is to you. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. We are never tired of worshiping him. We love to say, Lord, you are good and your mercy endures forever. And there is none like you. You are awesome in all your ways, beautiful beyond description. The mighty and the majestic one, risen and exalted one, holy and anointed one. Blessed be your name, Jesus Christ, the Son of Righteousness, the bread of life, the word of life, the living word. Jesus, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Our Master, the Lord of hosts. Blessed be your name. We love you. We declare that you are good. We declare that you are good. We declare that you are good. Blessed be your name. Thank you, Jesus. Father, tonight, by the power of your Spirit, we present forth your word in the name of Jesus. Thank you for your anointing in the atmosphere. Holy Spirit, we appreciate your presence here. Destroying every yoke, healing every heart, answering every question, transforming lives tonight. Blessed be your name. Thank you, Jesus. In Jesus' name. Did I feel like praying in the Spirit for a while? Can we pray in the Spirit for a while in this place? Lima shandele moko salama. Lera so mahande kalimanda ku shaletes. Zena hu zasabro ko shadi kalahase. De sulemahando parus. Maleka parosha lemando kosilanda. Nera tondo kala litu kuzaze parokostale. Negle kushalita latu zapri kamakando prahistolo. Zeti kelemanda koria sanda prakilos. Lera toko sonda rabaku shelemanda. Maligo suzepa lipro kusheleman. Deku zisi pra utoko sila parakesi. Oh, blessed be your name. Ilokusi aman. Ilegu sese kedebra iskobo. Legesi zakabradi shalamanda prakido sotos. Idoku zese prakilo kostandarabas. I worship you. I worship you. You are here. Moving. Hallelujah. Amen. Can you walk up to 10 people this night and just welcome them to church and say something nice to them? Say something nice to somebody. Welcome somebody to church tonight. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Jesus, I love you. I love you so much. Amen. Hallelujah. How many people are excited to be in church tonight? Amen. Give the Lord a shout. You know, David said that, of course, I was glad when they said, or whoever said that part of Psalm, let us go to the house of the Lord. But then he said something that I might look into tonight briefly. He said, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. That's wonderful. It makes me lie down in green pasture. There is something about when the Lord is leading you, there will be absolute peace. Hallelujah. And the Lord knows the way through the wilderness of life. All that matters is to let the Lord lead you. He was so confident about it that the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not. Christians get broke because they don't listen to the shepherd. People get into trouble and make wrong decisions. No Christian that has fallen into trouble, not even one, that was not warned by the Holy Spirit. Not everybody has developed the ability to respond to the warnings or the promptings of the Holy Spirit. So people get into trouble. Amen. Hallelujah. Some here, but some other things on the outside are more important than what the Spirit of God is saying to them from within. Let me say this. Anyone who wants to walk with God, two things. You must learn to be patient. And number two, you must learn to put God first before any other thing. Hallelujah. When, as soon as in Genesis 13, when Abraham and Lot got out and their flocks were multiplying and they needed to separate, Abraham knew something about they that wait upon the Lord. So he told Lord that, you know what, choose anywhere you like. And the guy saw a good place. I've seen people who have thought America will make them better, but it made them miserable. Because we walk by faith, not by sight. Hallelujah. People look at the guy. He has a car. He's handsome. He's working in Shell and Mobile. Now, those are wonderful places. So, I'm just saying that. You know, they look at that. And then, she says yes based on that. And all along, the Spirit of God within her tries to say, no, no, that's not my plan for you. But she's so much derided. Nice car. Range Rover 2017. Or Land Cruiser 2018. It's about coming out. So the heart is on. By next month, you know, the following year will come out, year before. You know, and she looks at that. And then she goes to his house. And she sees a four-bedroom duplex and he lives alone with a steward cooking his food. And she pictures herself in the house. But the Bible said there is a way that seems right unto a man. The first thing some people do when they have a need is to start calling. They picture somebody whom they think it should help them. Haven't you been disappointed in love in your life? Some of us have seen enough disappointment that we've learned not to trust men again. You understand? Haven't you learned enough? So that somebody, they think about the person. Okay, she has two cars, she should be able to. And then they call, you know, I need some money, I need some rain. You know, that even happens there every Sunday. There are those who come to church. They are just waiting for service to end so they can ask that church to give them money. I'm not talking about members. They come in for the first time. Some of them come in and they just want to say, you know, we do welfare a lot here. But anybody who comes for the first time and they're asking for money, I am told welfare that rule, forget about it. That is a very, very wrong attitude.
I would rather carry times 10 of the money on my way of driving to one hospital. My account department should give to somebody in hospital that we don't know, who has never asked us for money. For somebody just walking in church towards the end of service, just looking at, waiting for, you know, they build a story around it. And it is all people looking at external things. They do not know if they pray and they are led. Are you with me? Praise the Lord. I just said, so Abraham allowed Lot to choose. He saw a very beautiful place and he said that surely it should be this place. And Abraham said, no problem. Genesis 13, that's about verse 10. I think verse 14, God spoke to Abraham. And just straight away told Abraham that. The Bible said, and God said to Abraham, after Lot has separated from him, he said, look around. I'm going to bless you. And you know what? In no time, verse 14, that God said to Abraham, and the Lord said unto Abraham, after Lot was separated from, lift up your eyes and look from the place where thou art, northward and southward and eastward and westward. See, sometimes there will be a period in your life when things will appear to be quiet. You have lofty and bogus dreams. Those dreams are from God and He will support them. But there is a moment where your stability is needed, where although it doesn't look as if anything is happening, but your worship, your prayer, and your consistency with Him is intact. After that, you go to a season of bumper harvest. At that moment I just described now, people become restless and they start moving together, looking for what is not lost, because they cannot wait. And they are forgotten. As of those who through faith and patience inherit the promise. Faith and patience must go together. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. When Kenneth E. Agin was teaching in a meeting, I've ever said that the first time I went to listen to Kenneth E. Agin, there were just about 100 in the hall. And regularly, everything he taught that the whole world bought into, Kenneth E. Agin's books are all over the world. Everything he put in those books, he was teaching 100 people, 150, just. And he saw a vision before then of 10,000 people in their Bible school alone, not even in a crusade. And you know, after so many years, he was teaching one day and he saw that there were 10,000 people jotting down and listening. Oh, true faith and patience inherit the promise. They must go together. The moment you haven't decided to be patient, in fact, the first thing God will teach you is teach you how to be patient. Are you with me? Hallelujah. And that is the moment where you calm down. You are declaring the word of God. You are giving Him praise. You are expecting a harvest or things to multiply. They have multiplied already in the realm of the sea. They will appear physically, but sometimes they just need you to stay there and be happy and be full of joy and be living your everyday life and not be, your heart is moving. So when God do this, how come God has not done this? And sometimes you need to overcome those questions and let them go. Are you with me? It has been discovered clearly. Thank God I knew this early enough. It has been discovered. Anytime God sends a pastor to pastor a church, and you fast and pray, and you expect that maybe 50 people will show up in a table, and then you get to church, you are just 6. As long as you are bothered about that number, and every day you are thinking about it, and you stand before the people to preach, you expected them to be 30, but now there are 5 people, and your message goes down. You are rushing the message. You are not giving your best. You will never see the 30. Until the day you look at the 5 and bless them from your heart and preach the way you would have preached to the number you've been expecting. And you relax. Every time you see the 5, you are happy and you give praise to God. On your way home, you are not questioning God. They print out flyers. I fasted for 6 days. How come only 5 people came to church today? I thought it would be 45 today. You might not say with your mouth. If those things don't die in your heart, you will not experience the growth. Every great church has experienced that. They were taught that lesson. Your eyes must be on God and your praise must continue. His praise must continue to be in your mouth. And your eyes must be taken off from external things you are looking at. Once you are able to pass that area, things will just start growing by itself. Are you with me? Hallelujah. So the opposite of faith is to worry about things and worry, just worry about things. Celebrate God and celebrate your life every day. Everybody say faith and patience. So the Lord is my shepherd, he leads me. Let's read Isaiah 48 verse 17. I want to get something from there. I just want to say this to the house tonight. Allow the Lord to lead you. You'll be blessed for it. Amen. Praise the Lord. Two things, and we will read James now. Are you there? The Bible says, "Thus saith the Lord, thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. I am the Lord that teaches thee what?" So that means God wants you to prosper. Is that right? "I'm the Lord that teaches you to profit and lead thee by the way that you should go." Everybody say, "There is a way, but I must be led." Say it again. Say it one more time. Hallelujah. He said, "I am the Lord that teaches thee to that thou should go." Verse 18. The ways of God are awesome. Amen. All right. "Oh, that thou hast hearkened to my commandments, then thy peace would have done me." This is like a statement of regret. If you are listening to me, by now you should be enjoying peace. That's what he's saying. "Your peace would have been as a river, and thy righteousness as the waves of the sea." Amen. Hallelujah. Remember I told you something some months back. When some people went to tell some lies with the government, and when we're setting up this place and some issues were coming up, I just sat there, I just finished praising God. How come he didn't tell me to go to government office first? He told me to call a friend who is a pastor. I mean, he had nothing to do with government stuff. They were giving us eviction notice. He told me to call a friend. And even me, I didn't know why he said I should call. I called the person, and then we just spoke for 1 or 2 minutes and dropped. Then I sat down. But what we said had no solution to what was going on here. Then 5 minutes later, somebody called. I said, "Were you the one that called social post?" He said, "Yes." I said, "Yes." He said, "I sat before him when you called. And I mentioned something about government people." And he said that, "Oh, the commissioner in charge of the order, my wife is his PA." God had arranged that guy to leave his house. He's not a member of the church of the pastor I called. He was passing by. He used to know the pastor in school. He stopped by to greet the pastor. Now, I didn't have his number. I didn't know him. So I called the pastor. It happened at the time I called the pastor, he was gisting with the pastor, and he heard the pastor saying that government disturbing you, something like that. So when the pastor drew, he asked the pastor, "Sorry, who called?" He said, "A friend from Tony Street." He said, "What happened?" He said, "That government people." He said, "Government, that should be my wife's office, that the commissioner is my wife's boss." So he got my number from that pastor and called me. If I was to sit down, if I sat down to think of 100 names that will help in that situation, if I had 10,000, his name wouldn't come up. Because his number was not even on my phone to start with. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Praise the Lord. So sometimes it is not to rush to that office to go and beg somebody that you want to work there. God has 1,001 ways to get to there. Are you with me? Praise the Lord. Amen. I will never forget when I was growing up, one of our neighbors, he just got born again. I say, as a matter of fact, he was a Muslim, and then he got born again. And we were both attending Trem within the estates. And one day the pastor was preaching. At the time, he wanted to travel abroad. He had a job that he felt that it would be better doing it there than here. But then they kept bouncing him like table, like lawn tennis ball at the embassy. You know, they bounce on him all the way. Anytime, they just bounce them. They were just there. And somehow, one day, went to see somebody. It turned out to be that they went to one eatery, and the guy that sat beside them, a white man who was reading this report, something led to something. They were talking about something in Nigeria, and the guy started gisting with them. And it turned out to be that one of the major guys in American embassy. And he said, "You know what?" And as they were talking to them, he said, "You want to go to America? He's a Nigerian. I know something about you. You are off, and you don't keep to time." He said, "I'm going to give you 3 options. He said, "By 12 o'clock, I will come out. I will stand somewhere and look at you." He said, "Wave at me." He said, "I will do that by 3 o'clock. He said, "By 3 o'clock, if you are not there, forget about it." Of course, the guy said, "From 5 a.m. in the morning." He said, "This one..." And then the man came out. He came as if he just came with security around as if he just, they were jumping. Hey, we are here. Amen. He said, you can never be late the day they ask someone to collect 10 billion naira. I don't think you'll be late. Some of you here will not sleep. 4 days to the day. Every night, this is how you'll be doing vigil. Nobody just watching. And you know, you can't be sick that day. If they say come by 10 years, someone would have left your house by 4 a.m. And you will, and you won't be tired. You sit down there at the front of the office. She'll be not here. A day here. If only we can worship and serve God like that. Are you with me? Praise the Lord. Now, he said, if you had listened to me, your peace would have been like river. Because combination of two things will always make your life glorious. Practicing the word. And that is James chapter 1, let's read verse 25. Whosoever looketh at the perfect law of liberty. James 1. If you have a question this evening, you can ask me. Are you with me? Look at this. The Bible says, but whoso looketh unto the perfect law of liberty and continue therein. Everybody say continue. He be not a forgetful era. Asking this all over. You teach on finances and you explain to people. There is a plan of God for every Christian financially. And the plan of God is written in the word of God. I do not believe any Christian should be broke. There might be a moment, things might not be the way, but it shouldn't be a permanent moment. Because God has made a provision. But you see, people don't follow what is laid down in the word. And then when someone now preaches it, people latch and then they do it for 1 or 2 months and then they stop. You are going to see this kind of continuing. That Paul put it in another when he was talking. Now this is James. Paul said that if we faint not, we shall reap. If we faint not. That means, so when it was Solomon, look at different people giving out different parts of your seed. He said in the evening, do not withhold your hand. That means both morning and evening, in and out of season, be consistent. Everywhere they taught people about tithes, some people will, they, that very month they will do it, the following month they will do it, after a while they stop. And that alone explains why so many Christians all over the world are finite. You know, I've told you before, you look at promises of God's word, and you look at the lives of many Christians, you almost get to think that God was lying, that all those things are not true. Because it doesn't show. It is because we choose our own pattern, we do not follow what is written down. No man who has followed God can say that God lied in his word. No man. Are you with me? I spoke with somebody some months back when MMM just cried. I've heard it from about 2, 3, 4 people. Even some of my dear people here invested their money. And I told somebody many months back when that thing just happened. I said that. And the person I was talking to, a professional actually, I don't want to mention his profession, so he's a professional. You know, lawyer, doctor, all those things. And I said, here is the truth. You have read in the word of God that if you give 10%, he will open the windows of heaven and bless you. He said, yes. That means you don't believe God. You are not a tither. He said, yes. I said, but men told you, MMM, that when you put certain money, something will happen and you will receive, and you believe that. You know, for the first time he saw it. And that's true. That not that I ever did it before to know it will work. But people told me I believe. Many of us believe men more than God. I'm not doing a teaching on that. I'm just saying that. People believe men. One boy tells them that this, it will work. Once you invent this one, you see a lot evil Christian, they join. And they do not ask God. If it is not the Spirit of God leading you, the grace that will spare you when it's going to fall will be absent. Are you with me? God is not going to be responsible for you doing what he has not sent you to do. He won't. Is somebody following me? Praise the Lord. On any subject matter at all, if a Christian woman wants to marry, the first thing she should do is to open the Bible and find out what does God say about marriage. If you have not been able to look at that, when you want to start having children, ask yourself, what does the Bible say about children? Those are the promises of God that you are going to put over your children. Some Sundays back, I thought, if you remember, the Bible said that where a man's treasure is, that's where his heart will be. Your money is your major treasure, talking physically now. It is the only thing that it's one of the major things that show your trust or your lack of trust for God. Anyone who claims to trust God and you cannot practice the principle of the Bible for your money, you don't really trust him. Somehow you do not believe that God will do what he said. Apparently, he that sweareth bountifully will reap bountifully. You read it. But if you believe, how can you read that God is saying that if I give much, I receive much? If I don't give much, that means I don't really believe. I might nod my head as they are preaching it in trouble. If I believe, I will practice. Is that right? But you know, all over the world, people don't practice. They know people who practice and who are blessed. But something, it is darkness. It still keeps them from wanting to trust God. Amen. Hallelujah. You live among people who have trusted God all their life. You've lived among them for 4 or 5 years and you see them prosper, but you still find it very difficult. So, I know they are not lying. You know what they do, but you find it difficult. Hallelujah. Are you with me? Is somebody following me? Praise the Lord. Anyway, so, okay, let's go back. The Bible says that whosoever looketh on the path of liberty and continue, he be not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the word, this man shall be blessed. Which man? What is the perfect law of liberty? The Bible says, in anything you do, if you look at the perfect law of liberty, you will be blessed. There is a guarantee. A man who operates by perfect law of liberty will be blessed. Are you with me? Praise the Lord. So you must know what is in that book. That's the Bible. And it must guide you. That's where you can be like a tree planted by the riverside that brings what is fruit in season. Amen. Immediately it appears as if maybe me or the church that I hate to struggle. When things are beginning to look somehow financially, I don't say to God that, Lord, we bind all those forces who are keeping our money. Oh, Lord, help us. The prayer I usually pray is that, Lord, what have we missed out? Something must be wrong somewhere. And it has to do with something I am not doing. Because if I am practicing the word, I have the key. If I feel symptoms in my body and I pray and it doesn't go after a while, I begin to find out, I start praying in the spirit, where that one is very direct. I just start asking God that, where am I not walking in love? Am I angry with somebody or is there something? And usually in no time, the Holy Spirit shows you. I remember it when I was in school. I mean, I had to leave a retreat to come back to school. And I was the president of the fellowship then. And I left the rest of the school there praying. And I just, at a point, I couldn't get up. So I was just there permanently in the room on the bed. And I started praying. And then the Lord reminded me. I'd said something to one of our female pastors. She did something and I was angry. I spoke. She went back to her room. She sat down. She was crying. And they told me that she was crying. I said, I don't care. Ladies are always crying. So let her cry. So that's her. So. Amen. Hallelujah. When you are women serving in your team, pay attention to them. I don't know. It looks like God is very sentimental. It's as if God supports women against men. It's as if, I didn't say it's in the Bible, but from my observation. Hallelujah. Have you ever wondered why Jesus did not rebuke any woman? He told Peter, he said, shut up there. You call the Peter, they call Peter devil. John said, let's call Father. He said, what's wrong with you? You don't know the kind of spirit you are. But even the woman caught in the act of adultery, they asked Master to talk. He just started writing on the floor. And he said, where are all the people accusing? He said, nobody. He said, neither do I. Go and see no more. That was just about what Jesus said to a woman. When he got to Lazarus, Mary was first challenged. If you were here, my brother would not have died. And he just said, your brother will live again. If Peter said, I just want to be there, shut up. Who are you talking to? But also he said, your brother, he said, your brother. And Martha, she was crying, the master, if you had just said, your brother will live again. And he said, I know he will live on the resurrection. Jesus said, no, I am the resurrection. Resurrection is not a date, it is me. Hallelujah. And of course, he brought out Lazarus from the grave. And you're going to see that pattern. I've told you before, even when Sarah lied to God, God didn't get angry. Have you noticed? Abraham must have been like Sarah, lying to God. Your lie has developed. Now you are not lying to men again. Because Sarah laughed and God said to Abraham, Sarah just forgot that she was dealing with the Almighty. He didn't need to look at her to know what she was doing. You know, they were outside the tent. Sarah was inside the tent. So she felt God didn't see her. So she laughed. I believe she must have answered like a Yoruba woman. A woman. After I gave him Paneyam and Bushmeat. Because God hates. You know, just fed God. They prepared bull and he ate it. So like, the Bushmeat must be disturbing him. Now he says a 90-year-old woman will deliver. Oh God. I want to put a shot on my jail top. And God said to Abraham that, sorry, why did Sarah laugh? Abraham was like, Mugbe. She laughed. And Sarah said, I didn't laugh. Maybe I just coughed. Or I didn't know, I didn't laugh. And God just said it calmly. He said, but you laugh. And he just said that to help her to receive the blessing. That laughter was needed to have the miracle. That was how they called the child Isaac, laughter. So when Sarah wanted to deny, she wanted to abort the miracle. Hallelujah. You know, the Bible says the joy of the Lord is your strength. And the Bible says by faith, Sarah received strength to conceive. That strength was joy. And that joy was what she expressed laughing, that she wanted to deny. So God said, no, you laugh. I'm not angry with you. I just want to tell you, you laugh. I'm sure when God left that night, Abraham said, auntie, oh God, for you. Amen. Hallelujah. That shows, when you have women in your group, you have to be tender and you have to be quickly come back and beg so that they can be with you. They are praying. All the men, some men are looking at their wives. You want your business to prosper. Take care of your wife. Amen. If she wakes up one night, she says, I feel like eating Chinese, you better be fast. Ask her also that, do you want Japanese as well? So I just told you the truth. Okay, I hope some women will take advantage of this message tonight. On your way home, say, at least fast and then fight. So, you heard what Pastor said. Hallelujah. And please don't stretch your husband. I just said, it goes for you also. Treat your husband well so that you are blessed also. It's all with me. The Bible says, if you look at the perfect law of liberty, it's a perfect law. And you continue, you shall be blessed in anything that you do. Perfect law of liberty. So, Isaiah 48:17. He said that I'm the Lord that teaches you the way that you should go and lead, teach you how to prophesy and lead you the way that you should go. And then we read Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And then he says, if you look at perfect, so two things, and I'll close with this. Number one is this law. Following the word of God, practicing the word, will lead to prosperity. I'm not, prosperity does not mean money, it means progress. You know, it's a cost and it is painful. So be on the same spot forever. Hope you know. Every time you measure your life, you should see progress. When we say a prosperous man, it doesn't mean we have private jets, and it means that every time you look at him, it's advancing. If you are a godly person and you have contentment, if you are advancing, you will be happy. Hope you know. If your life is not advancing, you won't be. I told you before, it is very obvious that some families are under a curse. You know, my brother wrote Obey's 70th, our firstborn. He wrote the Obey's biography on his 70th birthday. That was a miracle on his own because he wasn't Macmillan, he wasn't anything, he was an individual. Obey told him that Macmillan, who and Longman, those who made Longman, all these printing press, they've approached him before to write his biography, so he told them no. Here comes a boy by himself saying that, can I write your biography? And he said yes. He did not even ask, have you written anyone before? And that gave him a lot of, that gave him access to a lot of one. Obey, we said that, go and meet Governor So-so. Abraham met several governors. Say you are from Obey, they will allow you. And that was what happened. So he would just say, can you say something about Ebenezer Obey? Point to me, Pastor Bakari. Say something about Obey. Point to me, Michael Denuga. Say something about everybody. He was just having access, and he was taking pictures with all of them. Point to me, I'm also good state. Yeah, from Obey, okay, he said, they call me. Said somebody will be coming too. So, okay, are you ready? And then the interview. And they said something about Obey. And then Obey told him that, when I started singing, he mentioned one house in Lagos where he was living, where he hold the landlord so much that he would be dodging the landlord. And he said, is my brother should go there. I know the funny thing. He said he cried that day. He got to that house where Obey lived about 39 to 40 years ago. And the tenants that he lived with were still there. He said, he asked them that, didn't Obey help you? And one of them said that, he said, Magic, I could say you, but don't let us lie. Oh, that God will be angry with us. That severally we went to him, the days of 1 million, 5. He said, he's giving us money several times. What they do with the money, they cannot explain. How do you expect after almost 40 years? He says, may I face you? They were still there. And one of them took my brother to Obey's room. He said, he used to live here 30 something years ago. And he said, the man didn't know what he was thinking. I said, you are still here. Old now, still living there. One of them said something about him. He said, as broke as he was then, as the landlord was threatening him, he said, all of us used to know when he would enter there. He said, because Obey would enter whistling a song. They all said about him that he never came home one day depressed. That in the midst of all his challenges, after he would have gone out to go and play in the morning till and they wouldn't give him money. He said, but you will know that Obey has arrived because he will walk past your room singing or whistling a song. Joy was in him. When a man is like that, you can't break that man. If the enemy can't take your joy, he can't take anything away from you. Hallelujah. Many times people even become sick when they are first sad. That's our time when they administer to cancer patients. They usually start by asking them to forgive those who offended them. Somebody said it's common among women who have used their whole life to support a man, only for them to now get into wealth. The man will now marry a young woman and kick them out. Yeah, that is painful. So it becomes bitterness. But you see, the bitterness will not affect the man, it will affect you. The law, nemesis will catch up with the man. You can't do that and get away with it. But you see, but if you hold the man in your heart in bitterness, it will pollute you and affect you. When you forgive people, actually, you do it for your own sake. We do it because we are commanded, we are told by the world today. But secondly, the effect will be on you. Whether you forgive or not, it doesn't do anything to God. It is you. It pollutes. Amen. That's why you must not hold people here. Sometimes you need to cry and pray that God should just help you release all those people. I was talking to a lady one day, and she got to the guy that raped her. You know, the thing was still there. And I said, I understand. I know how painful this can be. For you to trust somebody, one uncle somewhere, and for the guy to grab you one day, and the painful part for that lady was that she told, she was trying to report, and nobody believed her. The guy stood before his own parents. She was living with them and said, I didn't do it. And the parents even beat her. And everybody told her to leave. That you must have been walking back home, trying to say this. So, years after she was telling me, she still broke down again. That she was almost trying to remove her, but to show them that, see, this guy did this when you were not at home. But nobody said, no, that's not. But she felt that the mother actually knew that she was saying the truth, but just wanted to use both phrases that my son didn't do that. And you know, that can be painful. Sometimes also when you want to help people at times, you might have to make them dig a little into their history. Some people think some things happened 20 years, but it's still so much here. And if care is not taken, it looks like it is buried, but from time to time it comes out and it affects. Amen. Hallelujah. That's why if it helps, if you have had a major crack in the past, that's affecting you. Find somebody you can trust. Open up and talk with the person. If you don't tell anybody, it might not help you. People will say they can handle it, but it's killing them inside. Some people can get over it for 40 years, and then one day, something will happen, it will come up again. So you might need to get somebody you can trust. Alright? I'll never forget what a friend of mine said one day. One of her, I knew him from afar then, of course. I was born again and he wasn't. So he told us, he was one of the bad boys in the neighborhood then, in where he was living. But we grew up in the same city, and he said that he supervised the raping of one girl. He said for some reason he didn't join them. Not that he was afraid of it, he just felt like the girl was not his own target. But his friends had decided to rape the girl, and so he joined them in organizing it. So they caught up with the girl one day, pushed her inside the house, and so he was one standing by the door so that nobody would come in. And when they were through, the girl cried. About four of them, they left. Many years after, this guy had the wife was just having one miscarriage after the other. It was after he was married that he was troubled. Having a child was a serious. And then one day, at that town planning or so, that bridge there, he was climbing. Let me park his car somewhere, and then he wanted to go. And then he saw this girl. And he said, I felt like walking out. I said, come. And he said, I'm not going to pretend as if I can't remember what happened. He said, I am now born again. I'm sure you saw me that I was one standing outside when those guys were raping you, and we're all a group that I was part of it. Though I didn't touch you myself, but I gave my consent. I enjoyed what they were doing. I stood outside. He said, I just went on this. I said, you know what? I'm born again. I am sorry. I said, the girl breathed in and out. He looked at him and said that, you are free. He said, but you see the remaining three. She just hissed and left. And so I said, you, for begging, you are free. You see, people who are not very wicked, those who are not very wicked, are the ones who will let you feel the effects of your crime immediately. Those who are really wicked will allow you to go for 10 years. It's a time bomb that is on you. So when you're having problems, you can't trace it back to them. You know, events have happened, you move to Port Harcourt, you move to Lagos, so you can't, if you cast your mind, but you can't remember where your problem is coming from. Those are the real wicked people. So forever you are battling shadows, you don't know where the problem is. Maybe it happened 19 years ago, and you can't go back. Amen. Those three guys, truly, except they get born again and turn to the Lord, except they get born again. When they are born, if any man is in Christ and they know their rights in Christ, they will be free from whatever. If they are not born again, there's no freedom for them. And guess what? There are some people, after they are getting born again, I know people have debated this on Facebook, that there are some people that God might request that they send a message of apology. I don't know why some Christians will have a problem with that. It's a situation where I've seen everything, don't take it to the extreme, say restitution, you can restitute everything. But there can be instances where the Spirit of God will tell you that you have wronged somebody. After that, you know, confess your fault one to another and say that, get in touch with that person and tell the person that, say, I'm now a new man in Christ. Sorry for what I did then. Is somebody with me? Praise the Lord. How did I get into all these things? When I'm praying for a meeting, I love the Spirit. There are times I teach and I stay with the topic, but at other times I want the Spirit of God to move me around to just address things. I know I've spoken with some people right here. It will shock you that all these stories I just gave now, they apply to some people. If on the ground of what I've discussed now, you want to talk to me, I'm open. I usually tell people to talk to other pastors, but if you want to on the ground of what I am very open. I stood before the class when we were 100 level to preach one day, and the boy just told me. His father is a very popular bishop in Ibadan. For some reason, he never liked normal girls. His own was that because he had money, he was always visiting prostitutes. Very handsome guy. All the girls that liked him in the department never looked at any one of them twice. The only thing interesting him was just to carry money, and he had a car. Go to Ojo and look for dirty prostitute to sleep with. And as I was talking to him, he started crying. I just don't know. And no matter how beautiful the girl is, once she's my category intellectual, I don't want them. That what attracts me just to drive out of school, go to a place, pay a night with a prostitute, that is the only thing I seem to want. You know, some people have bondages in their life. And except they tell you, that's why some people are bound. The devil is just having a good time in some people's lives. And they might need to speak up that they might be helped. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Have you heard me tonight? What's the first? I said the word of God. Practicing the word. And the second one is, my time is up, listening to the voice of the Holy Spirit. As you spend time practicing the word of God, it leads to prosperity. But the second thing must be coupled with it. The Holy Spirit will give you instructions from time to time. Obeying those things will take your life to another level. How many of you around on Sunday? No, I gave an instruction on Sunday. You remember? I told you two parts actually. More people up. You must practice, you must be a doer of the word. Then you must learn to follow the voice of the Holy Spirit. Once you're about to lose money, lose relationship, even lose your life, the Spirit will tell you. Learn to listen to the voice of the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Every Christian woman, if the guy will do some funny things in the future, in the deception in the relationship, the Spirit must have told you. But as people ignore, because he cares about you, so he will start warning you. There will just be promises within that there's something here. But if we neglect it, then we get into trouble. When you want to invest, the Holy Spirit wants to say that no. Let him be your Lord that leads you. Some of the instructions are personal. At times, it comes to a church like it did on Sunday. Walk in it. It's an opportunity. Jesus said to the angel of the church in Sardis, say, what I say unto you, then later he said in Matthew, he said, what I say unto you, I say unto all. When God gives us instruction as a church, he's talking to the entire church. When the service ended on Sunday, I met somebody who told me that God told him not to eat for 7 days. And I said, fine. That the Lord says, oh, now I mentioned all night, but Lord told him that no, all of us are fasting for 30 days. We are ending 5 o'clock every day. But then Lord told him that from that Sunday, from Monday until Sunday, he should stay off food. Maybe just drinks and tea and everything fluid. And this is the third day. Well, Sunday will soon come. And if you do it for 7 days, you won't die. I've done it, man. So it doesn't mean anything. You won't die. So that's the way the Lord is leading him. Now, I told you yesterday it would be 5 hours. So it might just be one day. And he told me that in the remaining 17 days of the fast, he told me on Sunday that the main 19 days, that he will give an instruction to everybody. When he tells you to do something, get up with all of your heart and do it. He will tell you that one that has to do with praying and waiting upon, and he will tell you one that has to do with giving. And only the Lord, no man is involved. You will know that this is the Lord telling you to do this, because your life is about to change forever. Can I hear amen? You can't stay on the same posture and pray the same prayer, you know. There is a change, and the change is here. Hallelujah. I know that guy told me, I know more people have heard, but I've started hearing things. I pray that it will go around everybody. In Jesus' name. Shall we rise? Hallelujah. We give you praise. We worship you. We adore your name. We bless you. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. All glory to your name. During the week, today's Wednesday. One of the days of the week, one person reached out to me and said that when I was praying, that the Lord told me that I should sow my cast a seed. But the Spirit of God said to me that no, ask him. So I asked, I said, is it your car or your daddy's car? He said the daddy bought it for him. I said, no, the Spirit of God will not tell you. It's not yours. I said, well, your dad will ask. The car he bought for you. I said, go back and pray and ask God what he wants you to do. And he got the message. Amen. The Lord just asked me to ask him that, is it your car? He was sure when I said that, or your father. Your father. And he said, my father, but I said, no. You are still trying to hear what God is saying. No, I said, no, go and pray. He will tell you The jar of oil must be your jar. Amen. You can't believe in landlords and say, God said, I should sell the landlords. Or your father, can your father's car or your father's son say, God said, no, no, no. God is not the author of confusion. Amen. A woman can't even take her husband's money or something. No. God knows what he has blessed, what you can do, so let him lead you. But every one of us, I hope we are already, we are about to experience the greatest breakthroughs of our lives. Every one of us. And it's a body move. Amen. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Glory to your name. Just wave your hands to him. Just thank God. Thank God for his word. Thank God for his word. Blessed be your name. Hallelujah. Thank you. You know, the Lord just told me, the rape case I mentioned, something similar happened to somebody here. Interestingly, the closest people in your life, you did not even tell them. Find time to see me. We need to talk. Yeah, we need to talk. I just received a witness in my spirit now that the reason why the Lord led me to share that story is because of somebody here. I told me one person in particular, it might be more than one, but I'll be so glad to talk with the people. That's the kind of anointing that is present tonight, to go into people's foundation, people's life, and just, we can show you the word of God that will correct those defects. We can show you the word of God that will correct those defects. Oh, thank you, Lord Jesus. We give you praise. I also perceive in my spirit, actually, the first one I said should definitely be a girl, but this one, there's a guy, actually, you have raped somebody, and it hasn't left you the same. Now that you are in Christ, you feel it. As a Christian, you'll be forgiven, so you ought not, but you feel it. I need to show you the word of God to know that you are free, that you might embrace that freedom that Christ has set you free. I think what you need to do, you need to talk to somebody. I'm open. And if you find someone else you want to talk to, no problem. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We give you praise. We worship you. We worship you. We worship you. We worship you. Blessed be your name. There is a lady here also. You once lived with a man and he was not your husband. You were not married. To live with him, he used you to do all sorts. That's the way the word is coming to me. And then you parted, he dumped you. It has left a mark on you. Thank you, Lord. And now it's affecting every relationship you try to step into. Everyone. Oh, Lord Jesus, we bless you. Look at everybody. I remember that about 6 months ago, thereabouts, the Lord gave me a word like this, like the last one I gave. And a lady came to see me after service and she told me. You know, I didn't even know. And she used to do aristo before, but the professional type, only dealing with guys coming from Nigeria, at the airport they will call her and everything. I said that she started coming to church and she stopped. She gave her life to Christ, and what has been, she now enters some stable relationship, but somehow, it has happened about 4 times. Those guys will just come in contact with somebody who has had her for a night in one hotel before, and they will talk about it, and the person will break relationship. And the Lord set up the accuser over her should be silenced. Because she's born again and she has changed. But somehow, she will meet a guy. In fact, she once brought one guy to me that she was dating. The guy just left one day, one night, went back abroad and didn't talk to her again. And the abo intellectual just stopped. Later she found out that the guy ran into somebody who said, that's the guy you want to marry. Ah! And gave the CV. Back and forth. And I told her that there's something, there's what we can do. That in the name of Jesus, we can command the voice of the accuser. The Satan is called the accuser of the brethren. Now that you are born again, if you have been at least in the past, so what does that mean? What's the big deal? You are in Christ now, that's all. The people who do it are human beings. And the only thing, there's nothing anybody has told me that they've done before that can surprise me. But I got born again in life, but I understand if I wasn't born again, I would have done the same thing. So there's nothing. Are you with me? I've seen those who kill people before and they are born again and they are enjoying the Lord. And the person they killed is probably in hell. Mercy is not fair. So, I can't be moved by anything. Somebody will say something, I'll be like, ah, you did that? Oh, wow. Hallelujah. I've heard all sorts that I can't even say. I've heard all sorts. We're in school, like a fellowship like this, and a lady told when her father raped her, not once, not twice, not three times, as 200 level medical students, our father. So what do you say to that? She lost her job, she lost her pay, she nearly left her class and everything. Our father, not stepfather, father. Sometimes when you're behind some quiet faces, you don't know what some people are going through. Hallelujah. Lord Jesus, we give you praise tonight. Is someone blessed tonight? Everybody somehow sober. Hallelujah. Ask your neighbor, hope nothing much happened to you. Hope it's not too bad. Hallelujah. Let's give our praise tonight. But some of you are looking at me. That this pastor is just describing my life. It is well. You are blessed. Take it that God brought you here. If you are, I know it might just be about 5 to 10. God brought you here for that purpose. I could have shared on leading by the Spirit. I had a lot of things I wanted to say, but I must follow the leading of the Holy Spirit. Father, in the name of Jesus, let's give an offering. I ask that you bless every giver, bless every offering in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah.